Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Well, of course, those are the dulcet tones of Bing Crosby in his original 1942 recording of White Christmas, written by Irving Berlin. It is the kind of piece that immediately inspires a holiday mood.
And children listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow.
But White Christmas also has quite a story behind it, one that maybe you haven't heard.
Dreaming of a white Christmas.
Joining us now is conductor, composer, commentator, and author Rob Capello. Rob, it is great to have you back.
It's great to be back.
Okay, so this is one of my favorite Christmas songs.
Me too.
Tell us, what is it that you love about it?
Well, you know, I mean, first I love that this is actually written by an immigrant Jew.
Yeah.
That somehow this perfect quintessential Christmas song was written by an immigrant Jew inventing the soundtrack of Christmas for America. I mean, it's a fantastic story. Also, what I love is that there is actually a verse to this that no one knows. Originally, this song was written as a parody. The original
really?
Beginning of this song was, "The sun is shining, the grass is green, the orange and palm trees sway. There's never been such a day in Beverly Hills, L.A.
Beverly Hills.
Hills, L.A. And it was set in the present tense, and then it was about going back to this distant past. Once it became clear that this was this wonderful postcard of a New England distant past that everyone wished was theirs, they got rid of the verse. But originally, it was supposed to be a parody song with a completely different verse.
Oh, that's so interesting, because, yeah. I mean, instead, the version that Irving Berlin gave the world, I mean, it is like the definitive song of secular Christmas song.
It is the definitive song. Although it's interesting, it's the definitive song, but it really says only two things about Christmas.
Yeah.
I mean, all it gives you is that there's treetops glistening and children listening to sleigh bells. The rest is perfect for you to project on this almost blank slate.
And people do.
And they do. I mean, the other thing that's so wonderful about this song is that it became a hit really around Christmas time in 1942, which was the time when our boys, G.I., were spending their first Christmas away. And so in a way, it became the kind of thing that they thought they were fighting for. This was the world that they were hoping someday to return to. So everyone sort of retreated to this mythic New England past that never really existed. And it sort of caught the hearts of those at home yearning for the boys overseas at Christmas 1942 and vice versa.
So let's talk about how the music captures
it's that. Fantastic. Now, every detail is perfect. First of all, it starts with the very first chord. Anyone would have started with a simple chord like this. I'm. But he adds one note which gives all the warmth of Christmas. And listen closely. Not this, but this.
Yeah.
So we have this wonderful foggy window. Now, the normal version would go like this. For dreaming of a. But listen to his fantastic chords. Dreaming. Listen to this one. I mean, that chord is spectacular. Ordinary. Berlin. That chord. Then, White Christmas. The normal version would be Christmas. But listen to his great chords. I mean, you can feel that yearning in just those two chords. Now, then, every detail is perfect.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the ones I used to know.
We started off with a long note and fast notes. Long note, I'm, fast notes. Dreaming of a. Long note, fast notes. White. Fast notes. Christmas. Anyone else would have continued with another long note. Just like the ones I know.
Yeah.
But listen to how it rises up the scale with yearning. Just like the and then back to the past, the ones I used to know. Now, treetops glisten. The normal way would have been this, where the treetops glisten. That's perfectly fine. That's what I call my Salieri version of Irving Berlin.
Poor Salieri.
I know. There's someone out there from the Salieri state who's going to call in. I know. But listen, get normal in your ear. Tops glisten. But listen to how he makes the treetops glisten. Tree, right here, tops. Now listen. I mean, that's what makes it tug at your hearts. And then the same thing. Children listen could easily be this. And children listen.
Yeah.
But he does this beautiful left hand. Children. Now listen to this one minor chord. You know, it's interesting. He had a child die on Christmas. So Irving Berlin always had a complex emotional reaction to Christmas. It was always a memory of that really sad day. And it's all right there in that one chord. Listen to hear sleigh bells. Now watch this. This is in the original version. In the snow, he actually writes the sleigh bells into the piano part. These are the sleigh bells. Now, the ending is what makes it spectacular. We repeat the whole thing just as if we were copying for the next verse. I'm dreaming of a white, exactly the same Christmas with every Christmas card I write. Exact same copy. Yeah. He could have easily finished with a copy like this. May your days be merry and bright.
Yes.
But instead of going down on the word bright, get that in your ear, merry and bright. He goes an octave higher. Days be merry and bright. I mean, that note and that chord. And then this minor color. I mean, that is what makes it great. That high bright, which is bright, but then maybe not. And then the ending. And may all your Christmases, Mrs. Now, why does this sound so perfect and final? Now, if this is your home chord, this is the same note in the melody. That's what makes resolution. But you could have three different notes in the chord. You could have this or this. The one that's final is this.
Yeah.
Every other chord in the piece that has had this has had either this or this in the melody. We've had I'm up here. We've had no. We've had treetops. We've had I'm. We've had right. We've had days. Only on the very last note of the piece do we have Christmases be bright. Save to make the last chord fine. Finally, the boys are home. We're back in the home key. We have the melody note and the chord the same. And all is resolved. We've traveled back to a distant past that never was, but the one that we all wished we had.
Wow. Well, we have the Bing Crosby singing version.
Get ready for the leap.
And may all your Christmases be white.
The only resolution.
Be
there are the bells.
I mean, come on, if you don't feel like you've got snowflakes on your eyelashes after hearing that, you have no soul. You know what I'm always amazed by this music is it's so beautiful, so complex, but it's very efficiently done, right? Because these are not long songs.
You know, that's the thing, you know. I mean, a great Broadway song usually has to tell a full story in 32 measures. And not only that, but often 24 of those 32 measures are the same music. The most common form is AABA. So you hear an idea, you hear the same idea again, you go away for a minute to something else, and you come back again. So not only do you have to tell a story in an efficient terms, but you really have to have one 8-bar idea that has the essence of it. And that 8-bar idea that we took apart, that is the essence of a complex outsider's view of Christmas.
So tell me more about that, right? Because I want to explore that more with you, because I don't imagine that Irving Berlin is, well, we know he wasn't someone who grew up celebrating Christmas.
No.
Well, so how did he, I mean, he had this capacity to capture its essence in a song.
Yeah, you know, I think oftentimes what we don't realize is it's outsiders who see us sometimes better than ourselves. Almost all of the major secular Christmas songs were written by Jews. You know, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Winter Wonderland, Let It Snow, Let It Snow, Let It Snow. I mean, all of these were written by Jews who are actually anxious to assimilate. And, you know, the first thing they did to assimilate was they all changed their names. Mm-hmm. So they would, I mean, Israel Bylin became, you know, Irving Berlin. You know, Hyman Arluck became Harold Arlen. You know, they all changed their name. And it was this desire to belong, to be part of the American dream, to be part of the American story. And a lot of that yearning that you feel in this music is a yearning for a childhood they never had, for a country that they didn't actually belong to, but they then felt an incredibly poignant yearning towards it. So I think that that's what gives it that kind of extra special sense of yearning. It's people trying to belong to something that they never actually were a part of and literally inventing Christmas out of their own imaginations.
Yeah. And in return, they gave us all the gift of something great. Music, timeless music for us all.
And in fact, allowed us all to assimilate because it suddenly became a holiday for all of us. You know, I've been in Malaysia and you hear White Christmas played at the Starbucks in Malaysia. So literally it has become the soundtrack for the world's Christmas. So that's a great immigrant outsiders creating the soundtrack to the American dream that then becomes the world's Christmas.
Well, Rob Capello is conductor, composer, commentator, and author extraordinaire. He joins us on occasion to break down what makes a musical piece great. And today he walked us through the genius of White Christmas by Irving Berlin. Rob, it's always so great to have you. Thank you so much.
A pleasure to be here.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.